Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. Yeah. We can't call it. Top star, free bowling.
All right.
Right.
One.
Mr. Miyagi time.
One. Two, three. Mr. Miyagi time.
Do you think that's what he called it when he was going, you know, downtown Leroy Brown?
Honestly, I probably would. It's like, yeah, this is Mr. Miyagi time, Justin.
I definitely don't call it Edward time. Let's just be for sure. Like, let's just get one.
I mean, I don't really...
Edward time sounds too Victorian. Hello. Edward time, is it?
It sounds very, very posh, dude. Like,
so we're here recording today, not on the day we're going to release, but one of us forgot to release last week's episode.
I didn't forget to release. I didn't forget to release. It's up. It's live. I forgot to promote.
But no one knows.
That's what I did.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Well, I mean, if the people have subscribed, they know because it's on their pages. So, you know, if you don't want to miss out, I'm just saying, if people don't want to miss out and I forget to promote, subscribe and you won't miss an episode.
Or you could just
promote it. I could just promote it. Yeah. Like, or, yeah, no, I could, yeah, okay, I could do that.
Imagine Kevin Feige swinging dick, bro, and just, like, releasing a Marvel movie without even telling anyone. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do that at some point.
At some point, yeah. It's like, it's no, like, you don't get a trailer, you get the movie. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, fuck you. This whole movie, like, it's like, I've currently completed my short film, right? So I'm sort of trying to put myself in the same boots. My short film, Marvel, same shit. I'm being asked by Film Freeway. So that's, for people who don't know, that's where you go to sort of submit your film to film festivals. And you, on your sort of project page, you can upload a trailer. And my movie is only 9.5 minutes long.
Yeah. And
I put anything in that trailer and it's a spoiler. Like, I've not come this far hiding certain facts. Like, literally telling the whole cast and crew. Like, you can take photos, but you can't... I don't want to see on your posts, like, this, this, and this. And we did well. Like, even when we did our own Instagram, like, we hid that shit. And now that you've seen the movie, the first time you saw it, you were like, whoa, what the... Like, I wasn't expecting that. Yo, like, what the fuck? Like...
Exactly. No, you have to hide that shit. Like, yeah. It's surreal to me when it's like short film festivals, like, oh yeah, add a trailer, but like, it's, this movie isn't that long, dude. You're giving you the movie then.
Exactly, man. And even then, I learned the other day that I've uploaded the wrong version to Film Freeway. So now I'm going through all the TOS of the festivals I've entered to see if I can change it.
Fuck.
Yeah. Whoops. Can I get a mulligan real quick over here in the UK? Thanks. Can I take one
for
spare?
Thank you very much.
Because I'm going to need one next week, probably. Sorry, I've got a mulligan man. He comes around every day.
Oh,
he comes
shit.
Around the corner and just goes, mulligans! Get your mulligans! He's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, no, at least you don't have an opera man that just screams mistake when you fuck up. Like, I feel like it's been happening a lot.
Mistake! Not as long as last week, but I started halfway through. How long did I hold that note last week?
I don't. I should have, but it was a good while. I was it still blows my mind. I was like, God damn, dude, that is fucking nuts.
So I want to start this episode today, Sebastian. This episode of Freeballing. Welcome to the show, everyone. What have you watched recently? Because I want to talk about something I've watched, and it was really weird.
Okay. Actually, I've started watching a couple of shows on Hulu. Most of them FX shows, actually.
Have you watched Shorzy yet?
No, not yet. No.
Fuck you, Shorzy!
I've watched You're the Worst, I've watched Atlanta, and I've watched Vida. So I'm currently making my way through those shows.
If I'm correct, Dave... The artist is Little Dicky, right?
That is very, very much correct.
That is the bassist from Linkin Park.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. The bassist from Linkin Park is now Little Dicky.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm pretty sure
I did not
bassist.
Know that.
One, like, guitarist or bassist, I think it's bassist.
Mm-hmm.
I think every lead guitarist and every bassist is now gunning for me. Yep, I see them landing now. Oh, yes, pitchforks, many of them. Sebastian, we've got to do this quick. So I watched the other day, it's a movie called Men. Now, I saw this in the cinema. I saw this in a cinema for real people. It was...
Okay.
This was not Pornhub. I know a movie called Men is a bit sus.
A little bit. Just a tiny bit. Like the smidgiest bit.
A soundbite of, what did he say? it's an Alex Garland movie. Now, if you don't know the name, you know the movies. He was a part of the Dread remake with Karl Urban. It was awesome.
Love that movie.
He directed Ex Machina. I mean, that movie put Oscar Isaac on the fucking map, as well as Donald Gleason. And I'm pretty sure Alicia Vikander got Best Supporting Actress for it. Awesome movie. And then he kind of fell off the face of the earth a little bit with Annihilation. Not the best movie. And now he's done Men. Now, have you seen a man give birth to himself, another version of himself, 6 times in a movie?
I can't say that I have.
I'm going to have to play the Jeopardy music.
I have not. That is not something that has occurred in anything I've ever seen ever.
That happens in this movie.
6 times?
And like, I'm not even fucking joking. You see every excruciating detail. The sound design is like reverse sex. I'm pretty sure they actually played the sound of penis going into vagina backwards to get the sound design of, like, sometimes the feet come out first, sometimes the hands and feet come out first, sometimes the head came out. Like, so, like... He gives birth to himself, like, you know, as you would with a man, through his, like, I'm pretty sure the first one's through his penis. Then it's through his buttocks.
Ow!
And then, like, his shoulders, like, sort of unhinge, and he comes out through his shoulders. Then he starts coming out of the mouth, and he kind of gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought the movie, like, I came out of the movie, and I said to my friend, I was like, I'm pretty sure the movie knew what it wanted to say. It's just... I don't, like, the movie was so confident with what it was showing us that I was like, okay, there's substance here, there's something here. And I come out and I'm looking at interviews, and Alex Garland has done the classic interview of, oh, I think the message behind the movie is your own interpretation of the movie. I was like, fucking cop out, man. That's what you say when you literally have no fucking clue what you've got.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, there's, like, in terms of horror, in terms of, like it scared me. There were genuine moments that scared me, like, with how real it is, like, sort of how real some of the stuff is, until it goes completely surreal at the end, and it completely lost me. But there's this moment where, like, if you've paid attention, the injuries inflicted onto the man at the end are the same on her husband who commits suicide, right? But there's this one moment where his hand comes through a letterbox. Like, I'm almost done. I'll explain this one thing and then I'm done. This hand comes through the letterbox, right? And she's holding a knife. Hand through arm. Like, knife through arm, right? And it's, and he's like, and you think, oh, you know, the other hand's going to try and squeeze through and help. No. This man just starts pulling back his hand.
Oh! Oh!
And the camera does not pull away. I swear to God, the camera pushes in as this so you can't see me, but I'm kind of showing Sebastian how this knife sort of comes through between your middle finger.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I
can feel it and I hate it.
And you're there for about a good minute and a half, and me and my friend, we was like,
make it stop.
But every man in the movie is played by Rory Kinnear, and there was a great line. He plays this character called Jeffrey, who owns the Airbnb, and it's set in the countryside. So it's it's like the TV. We don't get TV down our way, sure. We get the Wicker Man. He's there in the pub. He's a shot of him playing his crossword. He just goes, come on, Jeffrey, turn on the engines. As he's like, P.O. Oh, pomegranate. And I swear to God, this pub is set up so real. There's two guys that look like they've just finished from work in the corner, nursing a pint. Policeman comes in, barman's already making his drink, and you've got, you know, Mr. Homeowners Association sitting at the bar. I was like, that is a countryside bar. That is a countryside pub. I hate the movies where it's like it's filled to the brim. In Hot Fuzz, it's explained why it's filled, but like other than that, it's like, oh, it's a pub. We need people over here. We need people over here. No, fuck off. There's too many pubs in England. If you look at a map of England through pubs, you can't actually see the map of England. That's how many little pins are like placed on top of each other.
That's fucking hilarious.
And about 80% of them probably have the word cock in the name as a reference to the chicken. And on that bombshell.
I'm just like, fuck, how do we transition into what this episode is actually about?
So I just said the phrase on that bombshell.
Yeah.
Which is from the TV show Top Gear. And today's episode is about TV shows.
Yep. But it's a very specific set of TV shows. Like, so
what TV I know shows, you, Sebastian?
So you wanted me to come up with an idea, and I was you know those like toys and TV shows or movies that made us on Netflix series that they have?
Yes, I love the Aliens episode.
So I happened to be watching that over the weekend and was like, I don't know why I've become obsessed with cartoons recently, and I was like, dude, I think that's the episode. We should talk about the TV shows that we watched as kids that helped mold us into what we are. That way we kind of have a sense of what fucked us up. It wasn't me. It was the TV.
It wasn't me. It was SpongeBob.
Oh, shit. But yeah, like we made the cutoff age 13 because I feel like at that point you're no longer really a kid. You're a teen. You're an official teen. The teen is in the age.
That was annoying for me because the cutoff age was 13, and I was like, well, I can't remember past like 9. I had to really scrounge for some episodes, not some episodes, some TV shows here. Oh, Christ, sorry, I've had a couple of drinks today. I'm on the water. It's really hot over here. And a couple of as cold as the drinks were, they were delicious when I was drinking them. Now I just want to sit in front of a fan and die. the TV shows I've chosen, just a quick explanation of how I've done it. I've done TV shows that sort of, like, I chose one at one age range, and then sort of descended down to 13. And my last one is kind of like, it's the cutoff point, but sort of how it shaped me at the end of so-called childhood. Because, like, I like how the 13 was the cutoff, because, like, that's your teens. That's a, you know, that is like an age range of itself. That's puberty, adolescence. Even though you are called a child by literally everyone in your family.
Pretty much.
Try and stop myself from choosing too many cartoons.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. But like, so that's not to say choosing all cartoons was bad, in case you have.
It's a good mix. I think majority of my list is cartoons, but like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you went through with age ranges. I just kind of went in terms of like order of importance to me as an overall of going in through.
It's
that
nice
age
that we
range,
have that
so.
Variety. So mm-hmm. some people may find themselves being more like you. Some people may find themselves being like me.
Exactly.
Because I know some people like they don't. Really, like, they don't comment, but like, you know, they listen and they'll talk to me and they'll sort of they'll share their thoughts, which same. Also my friend Ryan, he has chosen a Fighting Vecna song.
Oh,
back
dope.
To the last episode, he actually did it. I kind of forced him to do it though when I saw him today. and he chose shit.
He chose shit, dude. That's fucked.
We chose a Bon Jovi song. I know you chose Steel Horse.
Yeah, I chose Wanted Dead or Alive.
Oh, Wanted Dead or Alive. I think he chose Wanted Dead or Alive. I thought he chose... What did he choose? Shit. If he listens to this episode, he's going to be like, fuck's sake, mate. Like, why do I bother telling you if you're just going to forget, like, not even 2 hours later? To be honest, a lot has been on my mind this week. Doing this podcast is... A good switch off, and fuck me, it's only Tuesday. Oh, and next week is gonna be next Tuesday. Oh,
yeah. Honestly, low key, that's exactly. I woke up this morning and I was like, it's Tuesday. It's fucking Tuesday. Why is it? It doesn't. It just got to me.
Why does it feel like Monday part 2?
Yeah, like it just doesn't feel like a day. It just feels like a continuation of another day.
Continuation of shit. Right. And well, if you're listening to this and you've had a shit week and you need some escape, well, come join us on another freeballing listicle. Who wants to kick it off? Me or you?
You can kick it off.
You want to rock paper scissors?
I think, okay, ready, 1, 2. I thought we were so shit at this.
3
rock
2 rock
I don't we're so shit. How are
fuck
we
you,
so
fuck
shit?
You, I'm going first.
My first one is
SpongeBob. I'm about less than 8 years old about that time. I remember mostly about the movie coming out, and I think that was when I was 8. And like the reason I chose this cartoon over other cartoons I was watching at the time, is because I still quote SpongeBob with my best friend to this day. Like we even question it. Like, are we ever gonna grow old? And I was like, no, and we shouldn't. You do you do need to maintain that sort of that sort of childlike quality about yourself. Otherwise, you will just become a cynical adult. I want to be able to maintain a bit of that. So when I finally have kids, probably way, 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 way down the line, I can sit down with them and enjoy this shit because it stayed with me. Or if it's not going, like SpongeBob won't be because cancelled this year. You want to watch something that I used to watch when I was your age?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Don't know why my kids sound like fucking ass hats on fucking helium, but there we go. I want to be able to show them SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And it's like just the bridge this show is between me and my best friend. Like if we have a fallout, if one of us is feeling sad, I know I can get to them through SpongeBob, like through a meme, through a quote, through a voice note, through just like, hey, you remember this episode of SpongeBob where like Patrick's like addicted to fish hooking or some shit? And just the pure craziness of that show. Like I watched that show back when like they couldn't even bother to be coloring in the flowers. You could see the outline. You could see the outline of the flowers in the background. I think that's what they were, and they just like, just color was over them. it's like the worst paint by numbers coloring of all time.
Jesus.
And I don't know. Just, like, I tuned in before school, after school, even now. Every now and then, when I'm like, just every now and then, like once a year, I'll go back to the kids' channels and see if SpongeBob's still playing. I don't recognize it. They don't play the episodes I remember. If I want those episodes, I now need to go to Comedy Central of all fucking places. Remember when SpongeBob first went to Comedy Central? Everyone tuned in because they thought it was going to be like X-rated, R-rated SpongeBob. Because of Nickelodeon, it had to air at like 10 p.m. And everyone's like, why is SpongeBob airing at 10 p.m., bro? Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of the shows I find myself keep going back to. On a bad day, on a good day, there's a SpongeBob episode for you.
I feel that.
So take us away, Sebastian.
Honestly, it's funny that that's kind of your explanation because it kind of feels how that's how I feel about my first pick. It's a bit controversial. So when I was a kid, I didn't really watch Pokemon. I didn't get into Pokemon until I was like older, and that was because of the games, not the actual
when
show.
When I came over and forced Pokemon Go into your face.
Pretty much. Like, I had gotten it, and I was like, it's not something I did. But then, obviously, you were really into it, so that got me into it, and it was cool. But, like, for me, I was always Team Digimon.
I know you're a Digimon fan.
Digimon, for me, was the shit. And there's just something about it that was, like, obviously, in Pokemon, you catch shit and they stay in these little balls and you just kind of keep them like, but in Digimon, you have one little creature and that was your friend and he spoke to you. And I fucking wanted that so bad, dude. I wanted my own Digimon.
It's Pokemon for people who like are really into Peter.
Yeah, I guess I'm not really into Peter. So
no, but like Peter hates Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, no, like, I know.
When you're catching wild animals, it's like, fuck off, they're not real,
it's exactly exactly. And like a lot of the stuff that fucking Digimon did was like, it touched on, like, looking back, like there was a lot of like dark shit in Digimon, but it was all really good and it was like really engaging and it's just insane.
I used to watch Digimon, but like I think I watched so much Pokemon I don't really remember the show. All I remember is how great the soundtrack was,
right?
How great the first half of the movie is.
It's so good.
I still listen to music from the Digimon movie soundtrack. Like,
same.
Let's just
fucking
run it
same.
Through. All my best friends are metalheads, less than Jake. You've got The Impression That I Get, Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
Yep.
Don't know who sings it, but You Run Around, I Run Around. The Kids in America, the original fucking version.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure there's a few others that I'm forgetting as well. But like the first half of that movie, when it's like it's the kids you know from the show,
mm-hmm.
like, I just know that like at the point where the show was, the movie starts like, okay, we're going way back. Like you've got to remember like season one shit.
Yeah, yeah. It starts with the kids from season one, then the second mm-hmm. half of the movie is all the kids from the second season of Digimon.
I hate the second half of the, like, go back to the beginning. Shut the fuck up, you big diarrhea-looking piece of shit.
Yeah, honestly, it didn't even feel like one, it just felt like two different movies being shoved together.
It is,
but
really
the first
is.
Half is amazing. I fucking, it's just like, you got
like,
fusion,
that is how you
Digivolving,
build tension
it's crazy.
In a movie, the first half. The nuclear bomb, like their Digimon's like sort of being shit.
And yeah.
This thing like using something that no one really understood at the time, the internet as a weapon, which has literally become a thing now.
Oh, yeah. Digimon predicted it.
Like Digimon predicted so much shit. It's like, oh, you know, it's like you know, Digimons are basically viruses. So how about one of them goes rogue? Goes into the internet and finds the nuclear launch codes. It's like, wait mm-hmm. a minute.
You know, I think honestly my favorite part of Digimon looking back on it is like the friendships and the relationships with the main kids, they felt real. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't being played up for laughs. Like if someone had an issue and they didn't really talk about it, obviously it festered and exploded as it does in real life. And it's blown away because you have these kids in like this digital world and they have these monsters, but they still have they're still kids. They still have all these issues and insecurities that they're dealing with. Like there's issues of divorce, of like, you know, single parents, of not being able to live up to the expectations of parents, or like being adopted. That's a big thing too. And it's just like, this is a fucking kids show, but it touches everything in a way that makes sense. And it just builds so beautifully and fucking love Digimon, and the theme song and the art is great. Its art is amazing. Like I'm not a fan of more modern anime. It's just the art style is not something that I really connect with, and it's just kind of a
you don't connect with boobs, Sebastian.
No, like there's a sharpness to certain anime projects that I just don't really like. It just visually, it just don't
like. Super sharp, dude.
But like, you know, like Yu-Gi-Oh, Digimon, like are like that early like 90s and Japanese anime. It was just I loved it.
Yu-Gi-Oh pissed me off when like they pulled out how many hit points a monster was doing like out of their fucking ass. Just mm-hmm. out of nowhere. It's like, oh, I've spent half the episode building my character's hit points to 45,000. It's like, yeah, well, I've used the power of cultural appropriation Egypt to look into the eye of Ra, and I bring out my big-dicked dark magician who just looks at you and you die. Like, what the fuck?
Like, honestly, as much as I enjoyed the
right
show.
There.
Like, exactly. Like, I enjoyed Yu-Gi-Oh, but fuck me, dude. 5 episodes for one match? Nah. Fuck that shit. It's so ridiculous.
There's a show called Dragon Ball.
Oh, no. It's the same fucking thing. It's like, yes, it's been 30 episodes, and he only threw a punch.
Tune in next week.
Oh,
yeah, great voice
shit.
Acting.
For sure.
So my next episode. I keep saying episode. We've been doing episodes and moments of things. It's been a while since we've done
like whole encompassing
a thing
things.
As a whole. So my next one is Recess. And now I'm about 8 to 10 years old. I'm growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let people know that Simpsons and Futurama is in the background. I just think Recess had a lot more of an impact on me because it made, so I've actually, like, the next one after this, Recess and my next one, are sort of like ifs and buts, candies and nuts kind of thing.
Okay.
It made school in the US look awesome, dude. Here I am in, like, what I remember as a child, gloomy as fuck England, where, like, even in summer, you had to beg a teacher to go over to the grass and feel it to see if it was okay for the kids to go on at lunchtime. And if there was still dew or if there was moisture, then no, because you'd ruin the grass. My school had, like, at the time, I don't know if it still does it now, but at the time it was like it prided itself on, like, sort of, there was like, it was at a time where every school was like sort of fighting how good, like, the aerial view of their school was.
Yeah.
And our school always had, like, the green field, and it's like something was like, ha, you know, your school was all brown and old and, you know, filled with crackheads. and you're like, recess is like, there was no field. Mm-hmm. It was all concrete. But, like, yeah. somehow they made it look so much fun. Being mm-hmm. being part of a team, like even as kids, like, you know, there's a leader, there's the smart person, there's, you know, there's the tough one, there's the sport one, there's the fat one, and I was like, oh, that's me and my friends, I know who that is, yes. you know, you're Gretchen, you fucking dickhead, and you know, at the same time, me and my brother loved it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember me and my brother really connecting with too many things as children, but recess was one of those things. We loved the movie. We loved the like all the Halloween specials that I actually remember being pretty creepy from time to time, the Halloween specials of recess.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gave us characters that you could believe in. Yeah. At the same time as, like, sort of, you know, there was episodes, like, I think the biggest episode that sticks with me, I think probably one of the reasons why I put this on here, was it captured that sort of, you miss a few days of school with an illness and you come back and it's a completely different school. It's the episode with the stickers, mm-hmm. the Japanese stickers, everyone's got them. TJ comes back and he's used to being like King Big Dick, but he doesn't have any, and now none of the shops have them. And it was like Pokemon cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you could miss a couple of days. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened to me. I was king of the Pokemon cards. You needed Pokemon cards, you came to me.
Yeah.
And then I missed a couple of days. I missed a couple of days, or I think half term happened. And I didn't really, like, all of my old friends, they used to live near each other. I didn't live mm-hmm. near anyone. I live by myself. If I wanted to see my friends, I had to plan a sleepover like months, weeks in advance, and there had to be a reason why. It's like, oh, summer's starting, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, well, no, it's not. And I come back and like you said, everyone's on Yu-Gi-Oh. Everyone has, like, did you have Tamagotchis in America? You had to keep mm-hmm. this little fucking thing alive, and if it pooped too much, it died.
The amount of times that I killed one of those fucking things is just like, why do I keep getting these? It just come to me to die.
And then Digimon did the same thing. There was like Tamagotchi Digimon specials. And I was just like, oh, I'm into fucking Pokemon cards. And I swear to God, my dumbass as a child, I'm pretty sure somewhere in my time, like, when I get to heaven, I just need to go to God, big man. Did my dumbass throw away first edition Pokemon cards as a kid? And he like, big man just says,
yep.
Yeah, I didn't want to say this is why you weren't getting into heaven, mate, but stairs are down there, bro. I was like, oh, fuck.
Fuck. shit. I understand. All right, I'm out.
And I even look at my dad's cards now, and like, I think all we have is first edition, the fossil, like it was like that sort of claw fossil for mm-hmm. like, no Pokemon actually had that footprint that they used as like the fossil footprint. It was like a T-Rex footprint. No Pokemon had that footprint, because when you looked at the Pokedex, it had all the footprints of the Pokemon. None of them had that. And I think it was meant to be Kabutops. I've got first mm-hmm. edition versions of those, but by that time, they weren't, like, they stopped doing that sort of, they realized what they'd done with, like, first press kind of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I gotcha.
That episode was, like, that episode of Recess with the stickers, like, it made TJ this, like, unbeatable character, beatable in such a mm-hmm. simple way. That me as a kid, I was like, shit. That resonates. And it still resonates now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I am way behind on Obi-Wan, and the whole goddamn show has been spoiled.
Fuck.
Yeah, like two of my friends were talking about a character, and it's like, oh, so and so at the end. It's like, don't worry, boys, I already know. They didn't even have to. They didn't have to name him. They didn't even have to say anything more. So I already know.
Shit.
Completely ruined. And at this point, I may as well just binge through the whole fucking thing.
Fucking hate it.
Don't know anything about Miss Marvel, but no one's talking about that show.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've seen, like.
I did that, like the who's watching it kind of thing. The numbers.
Yeah. It's been primarily people of color.
Those Republicans aren't a fan for some strange reason. Don't know why.
I couldn't. You know, I can't put my finger on it. Fuck me. I don't understand why they won't watch the show about a Muslim superhero.
Yeah. What? Really? Republicans crazy. Are not Muslims?
Shit. That's insane.
That's may as well tell us your second show then, mate.
Alright, so the show that I'm going with is Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. Is that the one where the girl now is doing porn? Madeline
yes.
Ward?
Yes. Meet the nice. Ward, yes. Yes, it is.
I've seen some of her videos.
Yeah, I've definitely seen her previous work.
I know her now. We didn't get Boy Meets World in England.
It's one
when
of those
did it
weird
air
like
over there. What was the?
So it went from. I want to say it's pretty much the entire 90s. I think it ended around like 2001.
Who aired it?
Oh, who aired it? It was on ABC.
Ah, that's
so
like we didn't
so
get it.
Disney, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was one of those shows that, you know, one of those coming of age shows that I've watched and I still watch from time to time because it's just a comfort thing. It's, you know, it's like it's a, you know, this middle child trying to figure out the world and he's got the older brother that he looks up to and is like good with girls and stuff, and then he has the little sister, you know, who's just the annoying little sister, and it's seeing this kid grow up and falling in love with like the girl of his dreams that he meets in like when he's a kid. So that really fucked up my notions of love. It's like, oh damn, I found the one. No, you didn't. You fucking idiot. That's not how life actually works.
You're like 12 years old. You don't know shit.
You don't know shit. You fucking moron. But there's a lot
like,
of.
I'm pretty sure I know a couple that were like. Their husband and wife now have a house, have a kid. I'm pretty sure they were going out when they were 12 in my secondary school, high school. So that's pretty cool.
Fuck them.
No, they don't do threesomes.
But yeah, so like this, you know, there's something about the show that just resonated with me. And I think, honestly, it's just the stupidest reason. Like, the main kid had like just annoyingly curly hair. And I was like, you know, I never really saw kids with curly hair on TV. They were always like the nerds or like the weirdos and the geeks. And this guy was just a normal kid and was like, hey, I'm a normal kid. And then eventually, you know, he got more character. And he just became kind of annoying and was like, hey, I'm going to become kind of annoying.
Oh, fuck's sake. Your goddamn curls, they're the source of your power.
Pretty. But like it's you know, like Digimon, it touched on a lot of like serious stuff that was surprising, especially, you know, it was a show on ABC and it was a primetime show and stuff, but it's like there's parents dying and like abandonment and like, you know, divorce is a very big thing in a lot of these shows for some fucking reason. And how, you know, seeing how that affects, and like even the transition from high school to college was like shown in a way that felt very real.
Isn't that where the show ends? Ending high school and like the teachers like fucking off.
Yeah. It ends right around that time. And it's just, it's always been one of those comfort shows, you know? Like, it's one of those shows that I feel like if I hadn't seen, I don't know if I would have enjoyed as many of the shows that I grew as I saw getting older. Like Scrubs is very much Freaks and Geeks and stuff like that. Scrubs is very much like Boy Meets World, but obviously a lot more grounded. And it's just, that's just kind of where I'm at. It's one of those big things. Like I said, it's had a major impact on me.
Yeah, man.
I wish I knew more about the series. I apologize for not doing so.
Yeah,
beyond a certain character doing certain things now.
it's what it is, bro. It is what it is.
Do you think you'll be one of those shows that might get like a reboot or a revive down the line? Like, because you got that 70 shows getting a 90s.
No, it did on Disney Channel. They did like a sequel series where they focus on like the lead's daughter, and she was pretty much in the same. I saw a few episodes of it, and it's pretty cool. It wasn't bad.
Okay,
for a Disney Channel show, it wasn't bad.
Oh, fair play. Ugh, sorry, fuck me. Right, where are we now? Oh, we're at Malcolm in the Middle. I'm 8 to 13 years old now, and this made school in the US and life in the US look real and not like over the top sunshine and lollipops. This, I'm pretty sure, this was an answer to Recess. The creator of Malcolm in the Middle was like, "Yo, this show sucks. Like, I want
to. This is too happy.
I want to make an actual show.
Yeah,
of actual kids using everyday life as escapism. Because like, even though the family struggled, like the characters in the show dealt with it the way I used the show as a way to sort of get away for a couple, for 30 minutes."
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it was something I watched with my brother, and you couldn't watch that show and not try and put yourself in characters' shoes per episode, especially Malcolm's shoes. Like me and him, I think being the same age as the show's come around, and then sort of like getting moved from class to class, getting bullied, like, you know, sort of beginning to learn your limits as a child, as you sort of as you learn to sort of comprehend things like your parents' lives, the lives of others around you are affected by your words and actions, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Up until this point, you know, TV was, you know, color. This was the first TV that sort of tried to, like, it was colorful, but like it subdued it.
Yeah.
Like there was this essence of things are gonna go wrong, and I really began to notice sort of the deeper message in the show when Hal sort of has his midlife crisis when his dad dies, and like what fixes him is his mum phoning up, and no matter how much they yell, no matter how much they argue, she just asks him what's wrong, and he goes, "My dad died." I was like, oh man, I'm tearing up now. Like that fucking shit hit me, bro. Even though both my parents are still alive, it was like I knew moments where, like, even though I saw my parents yell a lot, there was still love there. Even though me and my brother sort of argued a lot, there was still love there. And even then, there was that sort of, you grew up with these kids. At the, you know, Futurama, the kids never grew, like, no one grows up. Recess, no one grows up. Even though they tried to do Recess takeover fifth grade or some shit.
Yeah.
And it was a pilot, but then it failed so badly they called it a special. And like, I'm pretty sure the actual series of it got cancelled. Simpsons, you know, no one ever grew up. This is the first show where like they didn't recast the kids grew up. They were going into different forms of class. Kids would just fuck off, and they wouldn't even mention them again.
Yep.
And then like characters would come back, and I think it was like one of the little, like, the girl that Malcolm likes, like, because she's smart, and then Reese likes because she comes back with boobs.
Yep.
And I was like, just,
you know what's fucking funny? That is the exact moment I was just thinking about. Where he's like walking away, he's like, "What's her name?"
As a kid, it's like there's just
Boops.
But like as a kid, you do start to notice, like, you know, some girls notice girls, some boys notice boys, some boys notice girls, some girls notice boys, like whatever you noticed. But you did begin to notice that shit. Mm-hmm. Especially in England, we were kind of forced at my age to sort of, you're gonna like this kind of thing.
Fucking A.
There were some people that fought it, and like I didn't realize how much of a struggle their life was until now, really.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I didn't make it worse. I hope I didn't. But like,
I feel that.
I was a subject of my own environment, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Wear a uniform. Like wear a uniform. Go to class. Learn what we tell you to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to put dick in a vagina. Learn how to reproduce. So what if people don't want to? Mm-hmm. What if people
don't want to do it?
Why are you forcing? Like she's not been paying attention this whole class. She doesn't want to see this shit. Fucking turn it off. Maybe give us a book to read in our own fucking time. Ah, my dad's just waved. He's just come back from the pub.
Oh, nice.
He's been there for a while. Fuck me, he must be absolutely sloshed. He left at like 5:30 and it's 9 p.m. now.
Bruh.
And the pub's only like 3 minutes away from my house. You can walk there. I will take you there when you come over. But yes, Malcolm Middle, man. You know. And I think one thing that... Another reason why I connect to this show so much, there was moments when I first started in LA where I felt a little bit lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And Malcolm Middle helped.
Yeah.
Until I brought my girlfriend around to watch it, and she was like, oh, I love Malcolm Middle too. And she... We don't talk about her. No. Damn it. I was enjoying this. Right. Before I say too much, what is your third?
So this one was tricky because I was stuck. It was essentially the same concept, but I was just trying to decide which iteration of it. And ultimately what I went with was Batman Beyond.
Ooh, nice.
And I love, don't get me wrong, Batman the Animated Series was my shit. I loved it. But I saw Batman Beyond from the beginning as it was coming out. Like, I think the animated series came out in like 92, 93. And that's when around I was born. I think Beyond came out in like 97. So I was able to, you know, watch it and actually kind of process and enjoy it. And the idea of a teenager being Batman is just too cool to not fucking be into.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's one of those, you know, so one of the things that I loved about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was like the whole message of like, anyone can wear the mask. You know, you can wear the mask and you can be the hero. And I think that's what Batman Beyond did first. Obviously, you know, it's been Bruce Wayne. And then seeing this kid being like, okay, Bruce Wayne can't be Batman anymore. So I'll fucking do it. Because the world
is it Drake?
Terry McGinnis is his name.
Ah, okay. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
I thought I knew some Batman knowledge, but don't know that name.
So, you know, again, and the kid's got a similar story. His dad is working for this company and like was trying to cover something up, and he gets killed for it. And that leads him to, you know, become Batman. And it's seeing Bruce Wayne as a mentor to this kid and like trying to help him hone his anger and his rage into something, but the kid not losing the innocence and the optimism that comes with still being a teen. Even if you're the rowdiest, most rebellious, the rebellion comes from optimism. I have to believe that. Otherwise, fucking teenagers are the worst.
Yo, that was deep, bro. Like,
I know, that's crazy.
That was one thing I wished someone had helped me with, was like rage. Because, like, I mean, I still rage today, even when I lose to 8-year-olds cracked on fucking G Fuel on bloody Warzone. I'm convinced it's all 8-year-olds. But I'm pretty sure it was a low form of bullying. My brother knew he could beat me at Monopoly. That's why he always chose Monopoly. My brother knew he could beat me at GoldenEye and FIFA, and that's why he chose those games. And a part of me is like, he bullied me. He knew he could win, so he did.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me now is like, or as my brother, was he naturally trying to show me that you're gonna lose?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you are gonna lose, and that's why I could never hold on to, like, my brother had a Football Manager game. A Football Manager comes out every year, and even though this game came out every year, he stayed on Football Manager 2008, and he took his Barcelona team to 2023, to a year we haven't even lived yet. He took like a team. That's how long he played this game for. Like when he was like when he was doing schoolwork, it was on in the background. When he was watching, when he was watching football on the weekends, it was on in the background. Like when this, when he got a laptop, his Mac came into every room, and you best believe when he opened that fucker, hot, like that thing just went, because it started loading like the biggest Football Manager file of all time.
Yeah,
I could never hold one down. I did one or two seasons, but like, you know what I had to do. If I knew I was going into a tough game against like Man United or Inter Milan, or if I'm like the England manager and I'm about to face Brazil or Italy or some shit, I started you can start a game within a game, took control of the other team and put the keeper in forward, put the forward in keeper, had like everyone up top, there's no defense, played injured players. Like, I went to teams and, like, if I knew a game was coming up, like, a couple of months, like, it in game time, I would take control of the team and be like, oh, okay, you can sell that player to me, you can sell that player to me. Took all the best players, played them all wrong, and then, like, finished the game, then quit that game as a manager, and then go back to my main one.
Fucking A.
I was, like, and honestly, like, it's bad. It's bad. Like, that is, like, you know, some people listen to that and go, fucking hell. Like, just be okay with losing. Oh, I hate losing, man. Like, literally, it is a mantra for my life that is, I love winning, but I hate losing. I hate losing more than I want to win. And I think that, like, you know, maybe I should have watched Batman Beyond then.
Honestly, I feel like you really would have liked it. Like, it's got... I know we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but it has like this cyberpunk Blade Runner feel to it. It's very futuristic and stuff, and like it's so sick visually. And then the music is dope too. Like I highly recommend you checking it out, dude. Especially if we plan on, you know, working on a little something something with this IP.
I'm trying to think where I'll be able to watch this.
We don't have
HBO Max over here.
Ah, fuck. Well, that's exactly what I said. I think we're just
I'll type it into Amazon, see what Amazon says, because Amazon is the only one will show you where other shows and films are watchable. Like, I like that aspect of Amazon. It's like, hey, this is over, cost this much here, but it's over here for free. So why do you tell me where it's free, Amazon, you fucking morons? If not, I'll just Google it.
They'll gain your trust that way, dude. It's like, oh my god, maybe I will pay because I will be loyal. That's the move. no.
So, moving on, Edward is now 12 to 13 years old. He's playing way too much Need for Speed. He loves cars all the time. So what's he watching every Friday with the family? He's watching Top Gear. Tune in to Richard Hammond, James May, Jeremy Clarkson ripping into each other on a weekly basis, getting celebrities thinking they can drive fast to actually drive pretty fucking slow around this lap. And it was good that they put like these celebrities. It was like, okay, you have XYZ cars because you have XYZ money. All right, here's a Ford Focus. See how you can do around this race course. I was like, fuck you shit. It's all stunt drivers, isn't it, dickheads? There's a great one, Johnny Vegas. I don't know if any Americans know him, but he's a big fat guy. He's a big fat guy. He was famous for being in a TV show. it's the name of a place, Benidorm.
Mm-hmm.
He played like the sort of 40-year-old virgin that still goes on holiday with his mum. And he's there. He's doing stand up at the time as well. But he's there in the car. He's going, "They've given me a naff car," as he's like skidding off into the fucking mud.
Jesus.
But it's like, yeah, I lived for the episodes where they didn't, like, all three of them start in the studio and you just knew it was going to be a special. And I was like, yes. Because, like, the special episodes of Top Gear are fucking phenomenal. The one with the Toyota that Jeremy spends the whole episode beating the shit out of this 4x4 Toyota. Like, he even ends it by driving it off into the sea.
Yeah.
And then it comes back, the picture comes back. There's about 200 people dragging it out because it's landed on the beach.
And amazing.
Jeremy's like, "I've been called back because this car has returned. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to do this." He gets in it. This thing turns on and it's ready to go. And from then on, they put it on a podium in the mm-hmm. in the studio. Like, you see the studio evolve from just like a warehouse with a stage on to, like, there's design, like, cars from the specials. Like, Hammond makes this car called Oliver and he fucking falls in love with it. And then that ends up being on the podium as well. If they failed on the specials, there was always a Miata that would follow them throughout the specials. Like, look, you know, you can give up. You know, if you think you're done, there's always that. And it's just there's a dun dun. It's like they tried to kill off the Stig because he revealed who his real name was as like an XF1 driver. So they basically shot him off the USS Midway or some shit in a Jaguar. And they were just like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Stig is dead." And just some of the lines Jeremy used to say. "Sometimes even my own genius astounds me." "I may have fingers of butter and fists of ham, but this car goes like stink."
What the fuck?
That's literally what he said. He used to say, "This car goes like stink." And it's like, ping. And it's like, you just enjoyed three middle-aged men clearly going through a midlife crisis, just enjoying cars, telling you everything about mm-hmm. them. And when I wasn't watching Top Gear, I was playing Need for Speed Most Wanted. I was getting like car magazines. I was one of those kids that got sucked into buying the magazine to try and build the car. But then once you bought the one magazine, you never saw that magazine again. But you saw another magazine showing you another car you can build if you buy 50 versions of the fucking magazine. It's like, "Here's issue one." So where's the fucking issue 2 through 49? Fuck's sake. Never finished one. But then it's like, it wasn't just me. It was like my brother was really into cars as well. My dad was really into cars. Some of my friends back at school were really into cars as well. And like, it was all we would talk about. How great the Bugatti was. I remember the first time you saw the Bugatti. Jeremy raced it as Hammond and May were in a plane. And Jeremy actually wins. Jeremy, like, they pick a destination and Jeremy gets there in the Bugatti before Richard Hammond, James May. And I was like, cars are great. And this show showed you how. It's like, look, you know, if you're an everyday human, some of these cars are out of reach for you. So let's show you how good they are. And I think it was the first time I council culture took something away that I liked. Jeremy mm-hmm. just, you know, as you got older, you just realized, you know, Jeremy was becoming a bit more cynical and would just say stupid things. He would just do stupid things. And you just know the show was on its last legs.
Fucking A.
I always used to notice as well when the show would use music from like Michael Giacchino or Hans Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a few moments where like they use an end once and for all
which is like the music that plays at the end of Mass Effect 3. And it actually plays at like what some people consider an ending of Top Gear. He's driving an electric or like a hybrid Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't feel the bite. Like, I'm going up a gear and I don't feel like I'm going up a gear. I don't feel like I'm gliding on the road. I'd like Aston Martin is changing. And I don't like it. And this feels like the end of something. And then the episode ends and everyone was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And it wasn't like if you got the annual book that comes out around Christmas, it was like, I never said it was the end. Did I say it was the end? No. Yeah, like I just remember that moment. I remember the music, and it did feel like a crescendo. That was like one of the last good episodes of Top Gear I remember as a kid.
Yeah,
as I was 12 and 13. Like beyond then, I don't know what happened. Honestly, I think I grew up, and I think my love for games persisted over my love for cars. Need for Speed mm-hmm. became crap. Need for Speed became crap after Most Wanted was Need for Speed Carbon and Shift, and we don't mm-hmm. talk about those Need for Speeds. And then I don't know who bought out who. I think Need for Speed bought out Criterion, which was doing Burnout. Mm-hmm. And yeah. rather than like implementing like good Burnout things into Need for Speed, they literally just made a Burnout with hypercars. It's like, this doesn't feel like Need for Speed. This feels more like a Burnout game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Need for Speed bought you, not the other way around. Because these games are still called Need for Speed, not Burnout. So why are they shit? Pretty sure Criterion doesn't even make Need for Speed anymore.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Fuck's sake. Yeah. What is your second to last, man?
So for me, it is the George Lopez show.
The George Lopez show. Nice. You've spoken about this yes. before now.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was the same as before. It was the first time seeing, you know, Mexicans specifically, but, you know, Latinos on TV. And it was on ABC. It was fucking prime time, dude. Like, it was part of their lineup for a good while. And it did good. And, like, it was definitely one of those things where you watch this and you're like, oh shit, you know, we can do this. Like, we could be more than the fucking the drug dealer, or we don't all live in shitty fucking neighborhoods, you know, we don't all live in like rundown houses. Like, this is just a middle class family dealing with shit. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's still Mexicans, so there's still some of them like telenovela storylines, but like it wasn't that big of a deal. It's not like they were built out of like,
it was a homage more than anything else.
Yeah, and like it's built out of like a reality that makes sense and a reality that you can kind of relate to, you know, like, you know, the guy who's like who's trying to be a better father because he didn't really have a father growing up, and, you know, he's making mistakes like that, and like being married to a woman who's way out of his league, and him trying to be like, you know, grateful that this fucking lady even took the time to like take a second look at this fucking potato headed motherfucker. and it's funny, you know, obviously not everyone is going to be like, it's not, George Lopez isn't everyone's cup of tea. He's very much, he knows his audience are Latinos, and that's who mm-hmm. he fucking caters to. So, you know, growing up, he was a massive,
why do you have to be any different?
Exactly. It's like, so growing up, he was a major force of my childhood. You know, he was one of his first comedy albums was one of the first comedy albums I actually listened to in its entirety. Like, he got me into listening to comedy albums, which is crazy. Like, that's a real realization. That's a real time realization. I had no clue that that was the case until just this very second. So that's exclusive as fuck.
It's not too far fetched to say without George Lopez, we wouldn't have Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the only reason I know George Lopez, which is why you've told this story to me before, that's because I'm pretty sure we paused the Netflix special that came out in 2019. I'm pretty sure George Lopez was there. Doesn't he start
the show? I think so.
And
yeah.
You were like, you lost your shit, and I was like, who's that? And you paused it, and like you told me the story, and I was like, dude,
I've got English comedians that are pretty much like that for me, like Lee Evans.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this guy sweats. I sweat. This guy sweats a lot.
Yeah.
I sweat a lot. I sweat a lot in winter. It pisses me off. People will look at me and be like, Ed, what's wrong? Oh, no, I've probably got that condition that makes you sweat a lot. Thanks for pointing it out.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, cheers. Not self-conscious about it at all. But like, and then this guy took that and became like a pivotal comedian within mm-hmm. me and my friends' lives. And it's like some of the things you talk about, like being in economy class on a plane, and then as soon as the plane lands, you know if there's Englishmen on that plane, because as soon as the wheels touch the ground, up, down, get your bag. You even know you're bouncing up and down, fucking plane. It's like, nope, mm-hmm. fucking, I'm getting off this fucking plane. I'm getting off this fucking bounce. Plane.
Be out.
And then, like, you know, you got that butt cushion that you just know. Like, like all a plane was back in the day was just compressed air that everyone was farting into. And you just know that someone had to open that door, be the first person to go in and go, it's like a wall of farts. It's like, can I let one go into the cushion?
Please.
No, because then the next person's going to sit down and then your fart's going to blow up into their face. I don't remember farting. Yet my eyeballs have fallen from my face. How do I still remember this shit? And then he's like, he's talking about his wife. You saw him grow up, and he goes from like yeah. someone trying to get laid to getting a girlfriend to having a wife. And he's like, I look mm-hmm. at my wife, and I just go, if I ever look like, you know, one of those crazy old guys, I want you to shoot me. And she goes, run, monkey boy. We got told off in school for calling one of the kids monkey boy because he looked like Lee Evans, and he didn't know why. He was too young.
Yeah.
And my whole class got told off for calling him monkey boy.
Amazing. Yeah. That's fucking hilarious.
Of course it was all my fault, apparently.
Oh, fucking Allard.
What? You started it? I may have said it 20 times in one break, but you started it.
But I didn't say it first.
Right, last one. Edward is now 13 years old, and he's looking towards the future. What is he watching? Dum-da-da-dum. He is watching Lost. I am in need of stories. I'm trying to wave bye-bye to the childish ways of TV that sort of, this is today's episode. This is mm-hmm. episode one. This is episode two. This is the first time where I realized that actual TV is marked 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, because it's linear storytelling with a story to tell and message to tell. I remember seeing it advertised. So I didn't start like this. It came out in 2004. I'm 10. So I'm not mm-hmm. allowed to watch it yet. So forgive me. I started watching season three. But it was something me and my parents used to watch. Like we'd order Chinese takeout. My brother would watch something of his own elsewhere. But me, mum, yeah. and my dad, we would watch Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember really enjoying it. And I remember when it finished, when it completely finished, I remember that Christmas, my dad was like, "Hey, we know you love this this shit. So here's the box set." And it was the first thing I ever watched on my DVD player. I got the DVD player at the same time, like the portable one.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could take it, you know, you could put it in the car, and you could watch Simpsons or some shit. I remember, like I positioned my bed in such a way. My parents never knew why until I got caught one night. I wasn't even watching Lost, I was watching Simpsons. And that's because I didn't have my headphones, they'd broken. And I was like, oh, maybe if I play real quietly, no one will hear. They heard. and my dad was like, turn it off. Oh, man, it was Lost, it was Heroes. I had my little shelf at the foot of my bed. I'd turn around, like I'd bring my pillow, so like, you know, I wasn't like in my sleeping position, so I was still awake. I found if I'm in my sleeping position when I'm trying to watch stuff on my phone, I'll wake up and I'm listening to fucking frog noises in Brazil or some shit. So I've got to be, I needed to be in like a different position. So I was like, oh, maybe if I'm down, then I've got a shelf and, you know, I can put books on and I can put my portable DVD on. And I watched all of Lost. It was like, I'm supposed to be in bed. It's like fucking 10 o'clock or some shit. And I'm not like, I'm already like awake till like 12 watching fucking Lost, 13 years old. And I just think, at the time, there was just so much sci-fi. And it was like, aliens, ships, space. This was like, you know, J.J. Abrams and Damon Lindhoff was like, no, you know, there's subtlety to sci-fi, which is like, it was a breath of fresh air. And like, and say what you want about the show. You know, some people, like, because of the way it ended, the show, for them, the show was crap. For some people, the show ended so badly, it was like, maybe the whole thing sucked. Like, it didn't really know what it was doing. It was just, it was definitely one of those shows that was affected, that was really affected by the writer's strike, if I remember, if I remember correctly. Because the first season was like, sort of, it did an office kind of thing. Here's a decent number of episodes, but the second season was like, here's 23. What? But then season 3, out of nowhere, went back down to 11. And I was like, why? Oh, that's because writers weren't getting paid. And they was like, we'll do you this many episodes and you can fucking deal with it.
Yep.
But I just remember me and kind of me alone almost. There was a few friends that did watch Lost, but they weren't vocal about their likage of it. Like, as soon as people started hating it, it was like, oh, if it's popular to hate Lost, then I hate it now too. But when they were with me in private, they was like, it's actually really good. I was like, fucking pipe up then, you fucking pussyhole. Because my mentality was, and this is what I've taken through to a few projects, not a few projects, but like a few TV shows and movies. I don't give a fuck what you think. None of the Fast and Furiouses have a positive rating. None of the American Pies have a positive rating. None of the coming of age teen movies that I still watch today with a couple of drinks with the boys, you know, no episode of Blue Mountain State has a positive rating, but yet I fucking love them all.
Same. Very much same.
I'll be surprised if anyone actually ever gets The Coming of Age right without being, like, you know, The Coming of Age with, you know, tits and drugs and underage drinking. I know we have a show that I think we kind of nailed that sweet spot. Like, sometimes, you know, shows go overboard, like Skins. Sometimes shows go too overboard or they go too surreal, like In Between Us. Like, as real as In Between Us was, I was like, it's not that hard to not be a virgin if you're actually really trying. Like, either they're all holding each other back or they're just not trying hard enough. There's a case for Will holding them back, but like...
Yeah. Fucking in-betweeners.
Yeah, fucking in-betweeners. Fucking bus wankers.
You know, it's funny, just before I saw you my last one, you mentioned, like, Recess kind of showed you how fun and how interesting school in the U.S. could possibly be. I had that same effect from the in-betweeners. It's like, damn, that looks like... I don't know what it was. I was like, god damn, there's something about that high school experience that I feel like I would have loved and hated at the same time.
That's not high school. That's, I'm pretty sure it's college,
but
it's actually rare that there's a college that mixes with like high school aged kids. That was one of the things that triggered me about In Between Us. In my area, where I come from, and from what I know, in all of England, 11 to 16 is its own age range. And then you've got the sixth formers. And even if you are part of this, like, you've got, like, this is the high school of
part of the school. There's a sixth form part of the school. The sixth formers are nowhere near them kids. So the fact that they all mingle together is like, I don't know where they got that from, to be honest.
Dude, I just happened on it, honestly. Like, I was on Netflix when I was younger. I think I was like, I was in my undergrad when I found it. And I was like, randomly, I watched one episode and I was like, fuck, this shit is so fucking funny. So I just watched the whole thing in like a night and I was like, oh shit, there's no more. Ah, yeah. But there's movies.
We don't talk about the second movie.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan of the second one.
No. Which is the one with the water park? Is that the second one?
I think that's... No, isn't the second one where they go to Australia? That the one with the water park?
Where Will shits himself on the slide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
Nah.
Stifler eating the truffle is bad enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
nutty?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fresh? Oh, so fresh.
don't hog it, man. Tell us how it is.
So good.
And he's just got the little feet.
Ugh.
Right, tell me your final. I'm going to mute myself.
All right. So... It was honestly a no brainer on like the last one. So it's Spider-Man the Animated Series.
I knew it. The one that ended so abruptly that like only now they're trying to retcon it.
But like I had it on recently when I was working on stuff and I was thinking about it. Like I'm a very quippy, very sarcastic person. And I have...
You are indeed.
And that is just definitely a big part of my personality. And I am convinced that had I not watched Spider-Man when I did, that part of my personality would not be a thing.
I need to go back in time and stop you from watching Spider-Man.
And like, it was essentially my introduction to superheroes and to comic books and to this massive fucking... universe of characters that are just fucking larger than life. Like, without Spider-Man, I don't give a shit about the MCU. Without Spider-Man, I don't give a shit about comics. Without Spider-Man, I don't give a shit about a lot of things, honestly, in hindsight.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, you know, when I say, like, the shows that made an impact, that fucking show made such an impact that it still carries on. And it is still my measuring stick for Spider-Man. In spite of all the shit that we've gotten so far, that is still the measuring stick for me.
Fuck me. Do you know our memory of that Spider-Man? A core memory of me and you together?
Are you talking about Michigan and me losing my shit on that poor dude because of the ending of the fucking series?
That 90s retro bar. We were so prepared to like, oh, the club's going to open in a bit. We'll stay here until it opens. We ended up just staying there, drinking beers, drinking cocktails, eating wings, watching classic 90s TV.
Cartoons, and I remember, dude. That was so fucking good.
I was so hooked on that episode. You looked at like, I was like, oh, that was really good. And then you just looked at me and was like, mm-mm. Mm-mm. I was like, why? That's where that fucking shit ended. And then there was that TV show with Kenan Thompson where he's in the tub.
Oh, yeah, all that.
All that. Oh, fucking hell.
I'm still on that poor dude was just trying to, like, he was just trying to enjoy the cartoon, and I just laid into it. I was like, no, they ended on a cliffhanger. They never fucking resolved it. And it's funny because I had it on and I get to that last episode of like, this isn't fucking going anywhere. I don't know why I always think it is. It's like, God damn it, they got me again. It's like, fuck.
They got me again. God damn, Madam Spider.
Can't believe she's getting a fucking movie.
That's so weird, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it Dakota Johnson as well? Yeah.
Yeah. Please God, no. I do not need to see Madam Spider getting repeatedly spanked. imagine where her career is had she not done those movies.
It's honestly, I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like she's done better stuff since then.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, she was in The Social Network.
But yeah. I don't know, it was in Social Network before.
Oh, God. Was it even Dakota Johnson in Social Network, or was it?
She was. She's in that scene with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his intro scene.
She's Stanford.
Yeah,
actually her name.
That's her.
She majors in French, so. Good luck with there that one.
Yep, there you go.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, she's done good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure.
And you know, I remember her bottom in The Social Network. Well, I've never seen
The 50 Shades.
50 Shades, no.
Yeah, no, I have
never seen. Never no seen Twilight. In. Never seen 50 Shades, and I plan to keep.
I got no interest. I'm good.
You know, she was in the remake of Suspiria.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Heard about that. I remember.
Yeah, that kind of came. That kind of came and went.
Yeah.
What else has she been in? Was she the love interest in the god awful Aaron Paul Need for Speed movie?
I don't know. I never saw it.
She is. I think she is. She plays Anita because Kid Cudi comes into the fucking movie. Anita. I was like, okay, that's this movie, isn't it? Oh God.
Christ.
And then Rami Malek was in that movie. He gets naked in the office as his friends have come to pick him up.
Rami Malek has had such a weird career.
He started off as like the typecast terrorist in 24, where he's literally, his whole character was just eyeballs.
You know, he was actually in a show that I used to watch. It was called The War at Home. He played like the gay best friend who was like really terrible at hiding his feelings for his best friend.
Not that it matters, but is Rami Malek gay?
I have no clue.
I don't know, because he's played, King of the Gays. Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Let's end this today's episode. If you want to find some good information, watch Brian Stern's interview with Sacha Baron Cohen, where he's talking about why he got kicked off his version of the Queen movie. Now, we're told as, like, fans, he left. No. A certain band member of Queen, Brian May, told Sacha Baron Cohen, no, we're not doing that. We're not disgracing Freddie Mercury's name in this movie. Fuck off. What should have happened is that there should have been two movies. There should have been a Freddie Mercury movie. There should have been a Queen movie. Because in those party scenes where Freddie's like sort of a bit of recluse, but like everyone seems to be in his house all the time. Yet naked midgets were walking around the house with trays of cocaine on their head.
Wow. That's a hell of a visual.
I want that movie.
I want that movie.
Sacha Baron Cohen should just be like, fuck you, I'm making this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, just do what we're doing with Atari. Just rename everything.
Yeah, there you go.
We are Sheen, and I am Medi Furkery.
Medi Furkery. Oh, that's a great one to end on.
Yes. What are you going to do this week, Sebastian?
I'm going to promote two episodes this week.
You're goddamn right. Cool. Awesome.
Bye. All
right. Bye, everyone. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys in the next one.
Come on, man. Come join us on a trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.